Let's return to verse 32 of Luke chapter 1. We've read this text for the last several Sundays and looked at several different thoughts here. Let's pick up and read this text again in English, beginning with verse 30. The angel said to her, that is to Mary, "Fear not, because you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." We looked at the angel's message to Mary for several Sundays now. And today I would like us to focus our attention on the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ and his kingship and his lordship over that kingdom. As we review this chapter and some of the ideas that we've discussed over the last several Sundays, I just want to remind you to remember and recall that when speaking about the birth of Jesus Christ, the angel told Mary that the birth of Jesus would be very unique. This birth was like the birth of no other child in all the history of mankind. Mary was supposed to conceive a child by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. This is something that had never happened in history. We talked about the virgin birth last Sunday a little bit. Humanly speaking, this is impossible. And it's impossible for our brain and our mind to understand and comprehend this truth. But yet, in order to save mankind, Jesus needed to be miraculously conceived and come into this world. Otherwise, if he had had a human father, he would have inherited the sinful nature of Adam. And although Mary's son, Jesus, was born in an ordinary physical way, this was a birth that was different than any other birth that any other woman had ever given birth to. Secondly, recall that when the angel was telling Mary about the birth of Jesus Christ, his birth would not only be unique because of the fact that he was a man, but he was also deity. Jesus Christ was God. He was the only man God ever born and ever will be born. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, Paul writes us when he wrote the epistle to the Philippians. And so notice that the angel tells Mary that the son that she has, he will have a name. And we talked about what constitutes a name several weeks ago. A name oftentimes describes who we are. As a Christian, Scripture, all of the epistles that Paul writes describing who we are in Jesus Christ when we carry his name. We're little Christs. We're little Jesuses affecting the world that we live in. The angel tells Mary that although he's born as an ordinary child, he will have the name of the Most High, which is a reference to God himself in Scripture. In the Hebrew language, there are different names that describe God, and there is a name, Adonai, that means the Most High God. When Paul writes about the idols and the gods of this world, in your Bible, you will notice that the letter G in the word God is always a lowercase letter. But when we talk about Adonai or any of the other names of God, it's always capitalized. And when you pray and when you think about the names of God, I hope in your brain and in your mind you always see the name of God capitalized and you think and you meditate in those terms. Remember when the angel came to Mary and then on a separate occasion came to Joseph, although it happened almost the same time, maybe even on the same day, we don't know. But the angel appears to Mary and he tells her, "You will name your son Jesus." There's only a few cases in Scripture where God or an angel, God sends an angel to tell parents what to name their child. Ladies, if you're going to have a child, how would you like an angel to appear to you and to tell you what name to give your child? We place a special emphasis on the children and on the names we give them. When the angel appears to Joseph, He not only tells Joseph, you will name the son that your engaged wife will bear, but his name, and then the angel gives us his mission, the mission of Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua means salvation belongs to Jehovah. And so Jesus Christ, his name actually defines his mission to us. And furthermore, the angel announces to Joseph that Jesus would be also named Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God truly is with us today. Jesus, when he sent his disciples into the world, says, go to the ends of the world, and lo, I am with you until the end of the age. And that's what our text today discusses. The end of the age and the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in this verse, in verse 32, we find three primary characteristics of Jesus Christ that the angel reveals to Mary. And the first of them, the angel says that he, Jesus Christ, this little child, this little baby, he will be great. There have been many great kings in history. There have been great priests, leaders in the church and outside the church, military leaders, political leaders, husbands leading their families. There have been a lot of great people in history. When the angel in chapter 1 of Luke appears to Zacharias, he says, your wife Elizabeth is unable to conceive and bear a child. She is already old. She was probably over 80 years old at this point. And the angel tells Zechariah that the child, you will name him John, and he will be great. But yet when we talk about the greatness of Jesus Christ, there's a special word in the Greek language, and it means the great one. There's an accent on the greatness of Jesus Christ. He will be the greatest one that ever lived, because he is God among us. He is our Yeshua, he is our Mashiach, he is our Emmanuel with us. He is the great one, and it refers to not only Jesus Christ in the flesh and his ministry and everything Jesus did, but it refers to the deity of Jesus Christ, God in the form of man. There have been many books and there have been many songs written about Jesus Christ. In fact, more songs have been written about the birth of Jesus Christ than about any other subject about Jesus Christ, even more than about his death. But we understand that Jesus came and was born in order to die. And yet, Scripture very eloquently and very simply tells us that the mission of Jesus Christ, Matthew 4:23, Jesus did three things in his 3-year ministry. He would teach, he would preach, and he would heal. Remember that. That's what we are called to do. Although the healing aspect of the miraculous nature of healing, for the most part, does not exist in our time today. That was a gift that God gave to the New Testament church. But we are called to teach and to preach. And you say, well, what's the difference? The difference is when Jesus began his ministry, Scripture tells us he began to teach. And what did Jesus teach? When you read the Sermon on the Mount, when you read the parables of Jesus, these teachings were about godly, holy living. And if a person was honest and he evaluated his life in the context of what Jesus was teaching, and if we are honest when we read Scripture, we cannot live this way. We're sinful. The lifestyle that Jesus calls us to, the standard of God of holiness, the blessed people in the Sermon on the Mount. Nobody can live this way. And so Jesus' teaching then turns to preaching. Do you notice the subtle shift? And what is preaching about? Preaching is the story of the gospel. The story that God sent Jesus Christ in order to save us. That was his mission. And then when we are saved, then we can live the way Jesus taught us to live. And to demonstrate that Jesus was truly God, God gave him the power and the ability to heal people. It is said that when Jesus would come into a city, the whole city would come. And oftentimes Scripture tells us that Jesus would heal all the people that would come to him. Physically, he would heal them. And spiritually, he would heal them. When a woman came to Jesus, or they brought her to Jesus and they wanted to stone her. Remember, after he presents her with the gospel, I'm sure he says, go and sin no more. And so whether teaching or preaching or healing, we see the greatness of Jesus Christ. Like no other doctor, like no other preacher, like no other teacher. In fact, when John the Baptist began his ministry, it says he came preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, what was John the Baptist's sermon? It says, one is coming after me. He is greater than me, and I can't even bow on my knees and untie his shoelace. So great is this Messiah that is coming. And so as we think about this verse on this great day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, my prayer is that we would recognize and see the greatness of Jesus Christ. And very briefly, secondly, this thought here is, he will be called the Son of the Highest. Every place in Scripture when we read about God, God is referred to as the Most High God. All references to God and to the deity in Scripture, hundreds and hundreds of references in the Bible, are always to the Lord Most High. And when you have the name of your Father, you have the characteristics of your Father. You have your genes, you have the attributes of your Father. And so Jesus here is equated to God the Father. He is equal to God. In Philippians, Paul writes, Jesus Christ being equal to God the Father did not consider the fact that if he called himself God and ministered as God, that he was demoting the glorious nature of God, because he was equal. And yet Jesus left that glory. He left the splendor of heaven. He came down to earth, became a man, took on the body of man in order to bear our sins on the cross. Read Philippians 2, especially the second half of the chapter when you go home, about Jesus becoming not only a man, but becoming a servant. Jesus came to serve us. He would teach us how to live, and because we could not live that way, he would preach to us and present the gospel to us, and in himself he bore our sins on the cross in order to heal us spiritually speaking. And the third thought we have here in verse 32 is, the Lord God, his Father, will give him the promised throne of his father, his forefather, David. The third part of the angelic announcement to Mary is Jesus came the first time as a child. If you read verse 32 and 33, you notice two different aspects of the coming of Jesus Christ. The first one is his first coming as a child. The second part is his second coming. There's a wonderful song. Some of you may have heard it. It's called, it's about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it talks there about he's the King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And so in as we study the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we see first of all that it will be a literal kingdom. Revelation 20 tells us it will last for 1,000 years. We will be part of this kingdom. Jesus, when he comes in his glory, he will come on the clouds. He will come on a white horse, we read in Revelation. And all the world, every eye will see him and every knee will bow before him. This reveals to us the greatness of Jesus Christ. This reveals to us the fact that he is the Son of God. And he right now, after he arose and after he ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God, right now he awaits God the Father's command to go and claim his kingdom. And that is something we can anticipate. And as John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Messiah, in such a way God calls us, every single one of us, as his representatives and as his ambassadors on earth, to prepare the world with our message, our gospel message, for the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's my message today and my prayer, that if you don't know this Jesus Christ, if you haven't seen him in his glory or his greatness, if the message hasn't touched you yet, my prayer is that it would touch you today. Amen.